Bruce.
Welcome, Mr. Cuthbert. Please, sir. Welcome, Mr. Cuthbert. I'm sorry, this is a little too early for me.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's early. Well, thank you, Reese and Henson, and I do want to publicly thank you for coming on March 21st and meeting with the entire division of enrollment student experience and sharing your life story. And it was very inspiring and thoughtful. And I know that I've got nothing but positive feedback from our staff about that. So thank you for coming and spending the morning with us. Today we just have two short items. We would like to give you an update on the first year village. And with that, I'll ask Dr. Mike Riegel to come up and share progress.
Well, good morning. I was asked to just kind of give you a quick update of where we stand with this project. Some of the things you're going to see are things that you've seen before, but I'm just going to kind of walk them through real quick just to kind of give you context to where we are. So, there we go. This is our current layout down at the south end of the campus of the residence halls we have down there in the parking. You remember we talked about the fact that this is what it looks like now. And if we just simply took down the two buildings that we've been talking about taking down and put them right back in the spaces that were there, that's what that configuration would continue to look like. But we really kind of tried to look beyond that and say, what happened if we did climb to greater heights? You know, that's our strategic plan. That's what we're working for. We said, well, what if we removed the parking and moved the parking elsewhere and created a green space? But the buildings were still right there. And we said, well, what if we configured the buildings to kind of wrap around that quad area there that would create a space that would become a family neighborhood kind of thing for all the students who live down there. And that's the plan that we had started working forward with the last time that we talked. Since then, we've done a lot of number crunching and talking with folks about how do we finance this project, how do we move it forward within the budget that we've got. That's just kind of another rendition of that, or the architect's rendition of that. So what happened was we realized that we were over budget when we ran all the numbers. Obviously, construction costs have gone way, way up over the course even of the last couple of years. So we determined that the project itself needed to be a little bit smaller. So what we did was we took the bottom, there was a leg that was right here for this building run right here. We removed that leg there. It was a six-story part of that. It eliminated about 125 beds out of the project, but brought us back within budget. And we really felt like by doing that, it didn't hurt kind of what we were looking for here in terms of creating this first-year village. So it was a way to get us under budget, but a way to continue on with the project to achieve what we wanted to. This is kind of the architectural rendering of what this building will look like now. The other building will still be three legs, if you will, or three what we call pods. We'll get into that in just one second. But that's what that will look like in that space. And actually, I think it looks just as well without it, because what it does is it gives kind of open access as you look into the campus. It really gives a nice look in with the green space that's there and how the buildings will come around that. This is what we call pods will look like. This is the first floor here. So what you can see here is, on the first floor, there'll be the staff apartments. There's some study space. There's laundry room and kitchen space down here. And then there's a large lobby that's here in the front desk. We've got a couple of offices here, one of which we're hoping will be a faculty member at some point that's involved in the living learning communities. But we have it in there. We've built a classroom in here to be able to have students that are taking classes right within the building there. And then we've purposely put in a couple of lost my pointer here. You'll see that the music rooms here and the media studio, we know that students are using these kinds of things here. We know that we've got music students, music majors that need places to practice, and this kind of created some space for them to do that. So that's kind of what the first floor looks like. The second floor, you can see, will kind of be identical in each of the pods. So you'll see a number of student rooms. Usually the pods are within about 24 to 26, depending on kind of the way that it laid out. But then there's bathrooms there, and a lounge area, and then the RA room, which will be all above that kind of second through sixth floors. So that just kind of gives you a sneak peek of where we're at and where we're going with the building and the configuration of the building. As far as the outside goes, this is what the view will look like facing Normal Street. This is what we're trying to do is kind of match it with Ransdale Hall and kind of give it a similar look to that. So that kind of gives you at least a little bit of a look. And then on the inside, facing into the quad area, into that green space there, and I apologize, we're not able to get a color rendering of this one. But that's what it will look like on the inside. These windows, again, I'm sorry about that. Not working here. These windows right here are the lobbies or the lounge space that you saw on each of the floors. So you'll see that students will have this view out into the green space while they're in the lounge there studying or socializing or those kinds of things. That's basically all I've got was just to kind of bring you up to speed on that. We're in the process of again, finalizing the finances on it. We had a finance call yesterday. To move us forward with that, and we're hoping here, hopefully within the next couple of weeks or whatever, to be able to finalize this and be able to begin to break ground sometime in the next month to 6 weeks. So, questions?
Can you walk us through the phase timelines again?
Yes, I can give you kind of the basics of where we are right now because we've kind of gotten a little bit delayed on the financing piece of it. The original phasing was that we would open Building 1 in fall of 2020 because at that point we were hoping we had about 18 months to do that. Unfortunately, now that we're into April and we'll be into May before we probably get a shovel on the ground, it's going to delay that, we think, a little bit, but until we actually get the financing for it, talk with the engineers, talk with the architects, you know, and those kinds of things. It may be fall of 2020, but it's more likely going to be either spring of 2021 or fall of 2021. But if it is, what we'll wind up doing, if it winds up being fall of 2021, that's when the second building was supposed to open. So there's some, I think, some economy of scale that we can do if we wind up building both of those buildings together. So that may be the option that we take. Again, we'll get some final timelines once we get, you know, the financing in place and are able to sit down with the construction folks and say, you know, what does this look like? Does that answer your question?
You kept mentioning financing a couple of times. Are you still going to go through your traditional bond type financing through the county?
Yes. Yes.
It was separate. The university has no obligation.
That's correct.
Liability or liability.
Yes.
For that.
Yes.
And we're currently working through that. We're looking, this project is about a $50 million project, and we're looking about a $42 million issue. So we'll put $8 million in cash into this.
And $8 million equity.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then you still have a substantial cash reserve, do you not? I mean,
yes, we
somewhere
do.
Above that, which,
yes.
Which, by the way, enhances, obviously, your rating.
That's right.
Yes.
Mike, you made this real quickly. Kind of talk about what the first year village and who will be living there and the concept of living there.
Okay. So the primary design around this is to create a space specifically for our first year students. As we're trying to recruit and retain first year students, it's important that we have facilities that are newer. Again, as you look across the state, there's lots of building that's going on. And for us to continue to be competitive with other institutions, we've got to have facilities that are attractive to students. So what this does is gives us something that, that will attract students into an environment whereby we're able to continue to link the academic affairs side with the enrollment side and the student affairs side. So it's giving students that opportunity to have in-classroom and out-of-classroom experiences that are blended. For too long, what we've done is we've kind of separated those things out, and we've said these are the things that happen inside the classroom, basically between 8 and 5, and then these are the things that happen outside of the classroom between 5 and 8 o'clock the next morning. And we really need to do a much, much better job of blending those things together. This environment will do that. You saw me kind of point to the offices there. You know, our ultimate goal is that we would get faculty that are working very closely with these communities. The communities will be tied to academic programs. There's a committee that's working right now that's made up of folks in housing and folks from the academic side and from a variety of different places to look at what these communities should look like. Again, each of them are built into these pods, so each pod will have its own theme or its own departmental representation or college or whatever it is, whereby we're bringing students together, about 25 students at a time, together to focus on one particular project or one particular major or one particular, you know, kind of ideology or that sort of thing, that helps them to, again, connect to their academic side but also connect to the university. So,
it shows communal bathrooms.
Yes.
My understanding, the reason why Hilltopper Hall is such a big hit is it has private bathrooms. So I wanted to know what the design was. If we're moving away from that, or that seems to be the popular choice when these students coming, why would we have a communal bath?
Basically two reasons. One is cost conscious. Every time that you run plumbing for a toilet and a sink and a shower and that sort of thing, the cost goes way, way up with that. So there's that piece there. But honestly, the other piece of it is what a lot of the research will show, and for many of you who lived in this kind of style of hall when you were going through college, you recognize that there's a community that's developed when there's a centralized facility. If the bathrooms are just in the rooms, students tend to not come out. They tend to not engage with other students. They tend to not make friends. They tend to not get connected to one another and connected to the institution. So part of it is financial, but to be honest with you, part of it is also kind of philosophical of saying, for first-year students. Now, we created Hilltopper Hall the way that we did because that was more for upper-class students who don't necessarily need to get connected because they got connected in their first couple of years. So so that's kind of why we've chosen this particular style. So
I think it's still in the community is the most important thing. That's really what we're trying to do with our first-year village is to create a place for students. And if you're not coming out of your room, it's more difficult for you to develop that community. And again, we do have lots of options for our upper-class students.
I just remember finding all the sinks in the bathroom.
Yes. Well, and again, your point is well made because that's one of the reasons that we went with this pod configuration. So what you'll remember back is what we used to have was we had 50 to 75 of your best friends all using one bathroom. So you had, you know, you had 15 sinks in it. What's that?
There were actually two at Gilbert Hall.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, two on either end, but fighting over the sink before we had to go to a mixer was like, I mean, it was
so what this does is it creates only 25 people that are dealing with any specific bathroom, plus the fact that we've lowered the ratio of fixture to student to try to give more of those amenities.
Dr. Reed. As a former fine arts major that entered a university on a music scholarship many years ago, the idea that you have had the forethought to incorporate music practice rooms, given the requirements of many entering freshmen on specific 1 to 2 hour a day regimens that are required. I remember that 17-minute walk one way in the middle of winter each time and how I did not anticipate that, knowing that I had to practice. The idea that this community is created that helps fine arts majors, music majors, you know, majors of all types, to be able to live and not have to do this extra effort just to do what they need to do. I appreciate that a great deal. Thank you.
Can you elaborate a little bit what you envision as a classroom use in this building?
Honestly, what we're going to prefer, I'm going to prefer to kind of let the committee who's working on those things do that, but from my perspective on it, I think it would be several different things. I think that it could be places that we're doing like a first-year experience type of course. I would envision something like that. I would envision us possibly doing some entry-level classes that tend to be more first-year students in any of the majors, specifically the ones that we have in the living learning communities. So I see us using with that. I see us using it for program space, to be honest with you, as we bring in speakers and things like that. So each of the living learning communities that has a focus to it, we'll be inviting people either from inside the university or outside the university in to talk with students, and we would use that space for that. So it really will be kind of multifunctional space.
Regent Ernst, I'll push a little bit on that too, because I think that's an important component of the thinking behind the village, is that how do we get faculty off the hill and to engage with our students in the place where they live. And we've not talked a lot about curricular innovation around scheduling as an institution, but I think there's an opportunity here. Think about a first-year student who shared, had a common interest with the other 25 individuals with whom that freshman lived. So their courses would be the same. And imagine if those courses were connected. So, for example, you studied a period of time from the beginning of the Great Depression through World War II. And then the three courses are economics, a speech course where you look at the rhetoric of that era, and a political science course, all taken by those same 25 young people, right, who live together, who share an interest in that. And faculty, instead of them coming up the hill, faculty once, twice a week, coming down and teaching where the students are. If they have applied learning projects, they work together in that space on those projects, really connecting the academic work that they do 18 hours a week to the 140-some-odd hours outside. So I think there are lots of ways for us to be both creative and innovative and to help blend that living opportunity with a learning opportunity.
I don't have any objection to this. The thing which I was wondering around is there is no such thing as a university classroom. Different departments have very unique needs in terms of what they need. And so it's not so easy as you make it sound, in the sense that just anybody can go in any classroom and just do what they need to do. The classroom needs to be equipped to handle that. And so probably can be managed if we give it enough thought.
Anyone have anything else in mind?
Great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Well, next, I'd like to ask Dr. Martha Sales to... Martha is the director of the Intercultural Student Engagement Center, ISEC, and also the director of our TRIO programs on campus. And Martha is going to share with us some of the great things that's happening in ISEC.
Thank
and,
you.
And brought some students along
today. Yeah, good morning. I did not come alone. I'll ask my students, our scholars, to come up. As Mr. Kuster shared, I am the director of the Intercultural Student Engagement Center here at WKU and also the WKU TRIO program. And so today, just briefly, to give you some oversight or review of what the Intercultural Student Engagement Center is. Actually, it's the George and Cynthia Nichols Intercultural Student Engagement Center. And we have pulled up the website for you to take a look. Actually, our department or our unit is designed to assist Western Kentucky University with recruiting, retaining, and graduating students of color. Right? Again, our job is to assist the university. We cannot do it alone, but I am so thankful for the success that we've had so far. Intercultural Student Engagement Center is formerly known as the Minority Student Support Center Services, formerly known as Office of Diversity Programs, formerly known as Office of Institution and Diversity and Inclusion. So really, the Intercultural Student Engagement Center began July 1, 2017. Again, we've had so much success, sometimes it's scary. We are a living learning community. We move students in 3 or 4 days before master plan. These students get to learn together, live together, have classes together, and then we also have a center that's housed at Downing Student Union for students just to get to hang out and study. Dr. Gaboni frequents our center sometimes. He just shows up and students are like, who is that? he'll pop his head in and say, what are you all doing? And so students today, they learn so much differently than I did when I was a student. So sometimes I wonder, too, how in the world are you sitting in the lounge studying and with the TV going on, watching videos? But they do, and they learn, and they encourage one another. So we are about to, or we're actually in the process of recruiting our third cohort. Housing has worked effortlessly with us on this effort and recruited our third year cohort, because now every 7 days I receive an email with students' names who are interested in being in our living learning community. So it's an easy recruiting. We also recruited TOPS. We go to local high schools through the TRIO programs and recruit. So our first year was a little difficult to get the students that we needed, but now we have a waiting list. We haven't even started TOPS, and we already have students think about 27 students, what Christina shared with me, and we can only take about 60 to effectively serve the students that we need. And so I'm going to allow, I've talked long enough, I'm going to allow our scholars to introduce themselves, tell us where you are from, and anything you want to share about the center, or you may entertain questions. So we'll start with you.
Okay, my name is Lachey Compton. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and my major is Diversity and Community Studies. ISAC has helped me a lot. They helped me build resumes. One day I went to go visit with my advisor, and then she was kind of confused on what classes I should take, so I went to ISAC, and then they helped me out a whole bunch. And she also forgot to tell me to take classes. I'm a double minor, and she forgot to tell me to take classes for that minor, but ISAC stepped in and they helped me with that, because if they didn't, I would have been a second year senior, but they helped me a lot with that. And it's like a family away from home.
Hello, good morning. My name is Shalay Compton, and I'm an RA for Gilbert. I'm also a senior, and my major is Gender and Women's Studies with a minor in African American Studies and Gender and Women's Studies. And being with ISAC has helped me grow as myself. I feel like since I've started here, when I was a freshman, I was like in my room all the time. I was never involved. And when I heard about ISAC, I got connected, and I feel like I've networked with so many people. I've grown as a student, and there's many of stories I can share, but what I can share is how I've gotten community service with ISAC. I feel like ISAC is my home, and every time I go there, I feel like I can open up and talk to anyone, and I hope that ISAC continues to grow.
And if you're wondering if they look alike, they do. And that's what we call them, the twins, so sometimes we can't tell them apart.
Hello, my name is Renisha Griffin. I'm a freshman here on the Hill, and I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. And my major is environmental studies. One thing ISAC really helped me about was when we first got here, because since I'm a freshman, the 3 days before we came here was just my favorite part of it, because even when school started, I like had like people to be with before everybody else got here, because when that third day hit a master plan, we realized like we are really outnumbered.
So I was very happy to have like the family group that I have.
And then also with the support system we have, I love it so much, because we can like put any event that we have and everybody will come to it. And especially like when we're struggling with certain classes like tutoring, they show me how to go to the Learning Center in DSU or find people in the ISAC group chat who know how to do math, because I don't. So it really helps with everything. So I really hope we continue to do this, and I'm going to continue to be in this group.
Hello, good morning. My name is Jaden Grant. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I am a freshman on the Hill. My major is organizational leadership with a minor in entrepreneurship. ISAC has helped me incredibly, because when I very first came here, I'm not going to lie, I was shy, kind of nervous right now, standing up here. ISAC has really broken that shell for me and helped me in so many ways that I never really thought that they could. And just being around everyone who's in ISAC and the members a part of ISAC really makes me feel like it's a family here on the Hill. And it makes me feel comfortable anytime I need help with anything. Like Ms. Griffin said, she needs help with math, but so do I. I'm not good at math at all myself, but they hold math meetings on Mondays, every Monday, and just little things like that help me highly with not only with my major, but making connections with everybody else here on the campus.
And Jaden has already started his own little business. You want to tell them about your... They might want to invest.
I own my own clothing line named Jiggy Styles, and I make clothing anywhere from socks, backpacks, cups, hats, clothes, t-shirts. I'm trying to get into bow ties.
Very good. Any questions?
I've got a question.
Yeah.
I keep hearing from you all the same word, and every one of you, I believe, that's mentioned anything, and I'm talking to the students now, you've said family.
Yes.
And I think that's a powerful word when you use it the way you did. But the other thing is that I'm interested to hear from each of you very quickly what you think the role in ISEC has been toward your immediate success or wanting to stay, because not one of you is from Bowling Green, right? So you all moved here, not knowing anything, much of anything about the city, but yet you are all still here. So you have been retained as students. What role did this organization play in making sure that you have felt comfortable and confident in yourselves? Because who's the RA? You told me, yeah, you were introverted, and now you have explained to me very briefly if you think that's been critical, this service has been critical in you staying at this university.
Yes, so ISEC has helped me open my eyes, and it's helped me open my soul. I feel like ever since I've been in ISEC, I've been a newer person. I feel like I've grown. And there's plenty of staff members that I can talk to about anything. I've talked to Dr. Sales about a few things. So I feel like going there, when you first go in there, you don't feel like anything, but they have a good way of telling you you are something. They give you more spirit than what you think you are. It's like going to the academic career center and you're like, oh, I'm not involved in anything. And they're like, yes, you are. Tell me about yourself. And when you tell them, you have a whole page of everything. And I feel like that's what ISEC has done for us.
Yes, ISEC has really inspired me to stay here, not only because of what they do, but just the connection that you make with them. When I very first came here, they're just everyone smiling. First time meeting someone, usually give a handshake. No, they gave us hugs. So that just made me feel comfortable, and defining the word family is just, it's something, like I said, when I first came here in the shell, but when I came here, I wasn't trying to meet nobody. I was just trying to do my work, get my degree, do what I got to do, get a job, go on about my life. But really being here in ISEC, talking with Dr. Sales, talking to Ms. Gamble, Mr. Green, those people all really inspired me to be better and want to be successful, and they helped me throughout the way as well.
I think ISEC really made me stay because when I was looking for a college, I was just focused on like the distance and like what if they had my major or not. But when I came here for my type of orientation, I remember in DSU going to the table and meeting like Dee and Aunt and all of them. And then I went into the room with Dr. Sales, and like she was talking to my parents, so she had really convinced my parents. Oh yeah, you're gonna be here. So I mean, I agreed with them because I was like, I was never an introvert, but it already went with my personality, so I was like, this is cool. So I was really excited to already be a part of it, and since like Bowling Green isn't already a big city, like having like a lot of people that I'm already close to, we really make our own fun here.
ISEC is like family because I also started a business called Lachey's Letters, mm-hmm. and throughout ISEC, if you look around in like the different offices, they helped me branch out, and they bought my letters, and they encouraged me. They encouraged me to start this business, and like my twin sister, I'm also shy, but they made sure, they're like, no, you're family in here, so just branch out. And they're very accepting. When I'm stressed about class, there is an event called Lemon Squeeze, and we all sit around a circle and we talk about our problems, and we don't judge one another. We just listen, and it's like that's family.
Thank you all very much. It's a tough room. Don't worry about me.
Just wanted to make this is my family up here. Obviously, I'm very, very proud. CJ and I both are. But I want to be real clear. We're just fortunate enough to have a name out there. This program is all about these young people, Dr. Sales and her team. From our perspective, it's exceeded everything we ever imagined. But it's exactly what we were hoping for. And when we thought about the word family from our perspective, communities, you can come in and you can leave. Family, you can never leave.
Even if you
it doesn't want matter, to. Right? Even if you want to, you can't leave. And if you think about the power of the support structure that they get, they help them get beyond just coming to school, get my grades, let me get out of here. But how do I make it while I'm here? But the power of what it will do when they leave and they're still connected. That's what we think about. And all of you all know how great Dr. Sells is, and I really want to say your praise. It is phenomenal what you have done in your leadership, creating and building each and every day of this program. And we as a family are very, very grateful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Martha, what other opportunities are there for some of us to be able to help Isaac?
I'll often share when I'm asked that question is that we need assistance every day with your time, whether you just swing through and hang out with students. It's such a blessing for these students to be in this room. Just to see, you know, I was sitting behind them and I saw, you know, now they'll have something to talk about. And they won't just keep it within themselves, but I'm sure they'll go back and talk about it in the center. So time is important. Sometimes people ask me, what can we do? How can we assist? Just come to the center. Again, DSU 2041. Swing through. Hang out with the students. Talk with the students. Because they will share with you. If you spend any time in OSSEC, everybody becomes family. Everybody will become family when Mr. Nichols and CJ come through. I'll introduce. I'll say, this is Mr. Nichols. And they, you know, hey, how are you doing? Everybody becomes family. And then when the students realize who he is, well, actually the students are like, what's up? You know, and then when they realize, what's up? It becomes, really, everybody becomes family. So your time is important. You know, your talents are important. You can offer students some things they may not get in the classroom. Just by sharing what you do on a day-to-day basis. One program we had a couple of weeks ago, or last month, was called Networking with the Nukes, and it was one of our African-American fraternities that were graduates, alum of WKU. They came back, and we just had round tables. These were business meetings, and they hung out with our students, and they just gave them cards. They talked about what they can do. They made connections with students. So your time, your talents, and, of course, we'll take your tens. You know, you want to offer any financial assistance because it's tough out here. I mean, you know, as far as every student can't write home or call home and say, I need this. You know, and I often share, and Mr. Cooks hears me say this all the time, if we ever really got serious about student success at WKU, we wouldn't look at students and say, why don't they have? We would look at and see how resilient they are. That they still show up for class when things are rough. Not why did you come to class late, but maybe asking, caring enough to ask, you know, why are you late or why don't you have your book? Sometimes it's deeper than that. They just don't want to get their book. They experience a whole lot of things. I tell them often they are my role models because some of the things that they go through, some of the things that they experience in their young life, I don't know if I can handle it. You know, it's easy to be the grown people in the room and talk about how awful students are. But some of the things that students have to go through from a day-to-day basis, it's amazing that they do as well as they do. I promise you, it's amazing.
When you think about some of the threats to higher education today and some of the challenges we face, one of them being distance learning and talk about survival of bricks and mortars. It's all about relationships. Faculty, student, 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 and what a great gift the Nichols have given the university to create this sort of avenue for people to form those relationships, not just within ISIS, but this group, I'm sure, goes out and touches people in every classroom they're in, and professors.
And they're so innovative and creative. I mean, they help us recruit. Renisha was talking about sitting at the top of table. We talk to the parents. The parents want to talk to the old people. The students want to talk to other students. And so they assist us with recruiting. We go to the middle schools here locally. We go to high schools. But it also develops them with leadership and mentorship as well.
Real jewels in our crown, and we couldn't have anybody better running it.
Thank you. And we do. We have friends all across, even sitting around this one, we have friends who will say, what does the student need? And they will offer checks and money and buy a student a book. flower sales. Some of you saw us at commencement. Every year we sell flowers during commencement. And some of you, you gave us money, bought flowers, bought teddy bears, because that helps with scholarships. It helps sometimes with food security. Sometimes students are, you know, they've used all their meal swaps. So, you know, sometimes food security is just to be able to say, go buy you something to eat, or you know, we'll take you to get you something to eat. But it's a blessing that they feel safe enough to ask.
Anybody have anything else for Martha? Martha, thank you.
Thank God.
You know what? I have the best committee. I want to read it to allow me to be the chair of this committee. Yes. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Next time I will root for you when you get up. I have to root for Martha because she's my sister from a different She also has a sister with a speeding ticket, too.
If no one needs a break, we will move directly into the executive.